Sloppy Spoilers with your host, Spoilers. DT2. Spoilers. Spoilers. Welcome to a special movie episode of Sloppy Spoilers. We are going to be talking about, spoiling, speculating, dissecting Star Wars 9, The Rise of Skywalker. And I want to welcome my co-host, David Nemesis Howard. What's up, Dave?
Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody there from a land far, far away out here in California? I say hello.
We're going to be talking about probably what has become the most controversial series in sci-fi history. I can't believe what has happened to this franchise. What do you think?
Man, it's really hard for me to say. I've been a Star Wars fan for as long as I can remember. I remember seeing the first one in theaters, and although I'm not completely destroyed on the series or on the franchise yet, I have to admit that the last Star Wars film, The Last Jedi, just really upset me on a lot of levels. And so there's a lot that this next iteration of Star Wars, the Rise of Skywalker, has to do to really win my heart back, because that was like a dagger to the heart, the last one, The Last Jedi, just really on so many levels. I mean, we could probably have several podcasts of things that I was very upset about. So.
Oh, yeah. Plus, people are still talking about it like 2 years later. I mean, those wounds haven't healed.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's interesting because as we get into this podcast, I've got a story to share with you all the way back from 1997 about all of this. And I've kind of sat on it for a long time. So I'm excited to share the story with you.
Awesome. Awesome. I cannot wait to hear it. All right. Well, for those of you that don't know what's going on, remember, this is Sloppy Spoilers. So it's going to be a lot of potential spoilers. So just to remind you. So basically, in The Force Awakens, they try and establish Rey as the new Luke. They try to introduce all the new characters. The pattern in the first two of the Disney Star Wars movies is basically to kill off the old characters, to either kill them off or minimize them, or in some cases humiliate them. None of them have had anything good happen to them. That's the thing. Not Leia, not Han, not Chewie, not Luke, not R2. None of them have had anything good happen to them in this trilogy so far. So with the Rise of Skywalker, first off, they keep saying that it's the end of the Skywalker saga. I don't particularly know if I care for that phrase, because I do know that the Star Wars universe is a little bit bigger than the Skywalkers, a lot bigger, actually. And there's a lot of stories to tell there. But also, I know Star Wars, the first movie, was about the intergalactic conflict. Empire Strikes Back made it about the Skywalkers. And I don't think that's wrong. Empire is my favorite movie, like so many other people, and I like the direction that it went in. But they keep saying that this is closing the Skywalker saga, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that, because I think that if that's what's going to be happening, you should close it with some type of dignity or honor or some way to honor what happened in the first trilogy, to give us, you know, a send-off with some type of hope or optimism for the future. And all I felt in these last two movies was, I can't believe what I'm seeing. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, I think that, well, first of all, you know, I would have to say, for it to be the end of the Skywalker saga, you need a Skywalker, you know?
Yeah.
And that's issue number one I have with The Last Jedi, is that, you know, I don't mind if Luke Skywalker had died, but I think that, you know, they did him really, really dirty in that movie. I think that I didn't like the direction they took on where he was mentally. I didn't like how he ended up dying. I didn't end up liking where he was on his mental state, or as far as where he was with the Force. how he approached Rey. There's so many things I didn't like with that, and then how he became a Force ghost. Once again, it just didn't seem to make much sense to me. It was like, what? He all of a sudden hadn't exercised those muscles for a while, so he's just going to die because, you know, why can't he have a cramp or something? You know, it's like, what is going on? And, you know, so there's all that going on. And then somebody had pointed out to me, it's like, well, you know, Kylo Ren is a Skywalker through his mother, but it's like, Kylo Ren is not a Skywalker on just about every level possible. You know, I guess he may technically have the bloodline, but he doesn't have the storyline. He doesn't have the character. He doesn't have, I don't think he pulls that at all. I think he's just a straight up, either villain or anti-hero, depending what they end up doing with him in Rise of Skywalker, but I don't think that counts. You know, so which leaves you with the only other person who could be a Skywalker, if we're actually talking about a lineage, would be Rey, you know. But Rey, they've already said, you know, in the previous movie, you know, they made such a big deal of her parentage in the first movie, then they kind of threw it away and just said, well, her parents were nobodies. Well, if you come back in this third movie and make Rey a Skywalker through somehow or another, you know, I'm just going to throw my hands up and be like, what is going on? So, you know.
When you make such an obvious retcon to your retcon, then it loses meaning.
Right. Which really brings me to that. You know, I was going to tell you a story from 1997. All the way back then, you know, this was back in the days when I was like on AOL message boards and Yahoo and stuff like that, looking at fandom and everything. There wasn't a lot of stuff out there. And I remember one time a bunch of us Star Wars geeks, I was at work and I was, you know, messing around. And I came upon this message board and there's a guy who said that he worked for Lucasfilm. Oh, no, my phone. And he said he worked for Lucasfilm. And that this is when there were rumors about them, you know, making the Phantom Menace. And he said that, you know, George Lucas was ramping up pre-production, getting ready to do this. They worked for Lucas, and then Lucas was going to do these next three films. And then he just described what was going to be the next three films, and we didn't know at the time what, you know, if he was full of it or whatever. And then said that eventually, you know, Lucas would retire and then he would give over running of the films and stuff to him to do the next three. And then he described what was supposed to be the final three episodes. Well, I kept that in my pocket. I actually printed it out a long time ago. And what happened with the prequels was pretty much exactly what he said word for word. And I've often wondered if this person was either someone who worked with J.J. Abrams or is associated with them or something like that. And you could kind of even see in The Force Awakens, it had changed somewhat, but it was still following the same basic formula. And then The Last Jedi went completely off the rails. And so based on what this guy was saying, and this was all of this 22 years ago, it was supposed to be the end of the Skywalker saga. It was supposed to be about the Skywalker family and Leia's children eventually bringing that balance back to the Force. And a bunch of, there was so much that was involved with it, but it was about, you know, bringing an actual balance to the Force and everything. And so much of what this guy wrote 2 years before the first prequel came out turned out to be true. And so I'm kind of like holding that. And I don't know, you know, I don't have any way to verify the authenticity of what this guy said or who he was. But I'm holding that up against what's going on now. And I'm like, man, it is just such a shame if this was what was really supposed to happen. And mm-hmm. It didn't, you know. So.
Well, first big thing is that we know that Palpatine is back. Now, you know, the other thing that has, you know, irritated everybody from the beginning is that when they said that the extended universe wasn't canon,
right?
Throw out all the books and all the comics, and they're just, I don't know, Elseworlds tales or, you know, what ifs or alternate universe or whatever, because everybody wanted to see, especially Timothy Zahn's characterizations and his characters and his stories.
Right.
But I'm sure they're going to pull from both Timothy Zahn and some of the comics to bring Palpatine back, because he's got to be a clone. The question is, how does he get his consciousness in this new body? That'll be the major question that they have to answer, because growing a clone is not the same as growing a soul. And they're spelling this is that this is the Palpatine that Vader threw down the shaft in Return of the Jedi. So if that's him, and he's just in a new body, how did he get his soul in this new clone body? That's the first question they're going to have to answer in a satisfactory way.
Will you let me speculate for a moment on this one?
Go for it, man.
I've actually thought about this one, and you know, those great geeky discussions you have. Well, this one I had with some friends of mine around a D&D table. And you know how Palpatine talks about Darth Plagueis and transcending, only never, and you know, bringing someone back to life? We never really figure out what exactly it is he's talking about. We all assume that he's talking about, you know, like a version of cloning or something like that. What if the dark side's version of a Force ghost is Palpatine could have put his spirit into the, or his consciousness into the ghost, or into the dark side, and then it works like a possession, so that the dark side Force users can possess a body and come back that way?
Where are they when they're physically dead? Well, they're like in Force limbo or something?
They're in the dark side of the Force, just like Yoda and Obi-Wan are in the light side of the Force as Force ghosts. You know, presumably they exist in the Force. You know, it's almost like it's a Flash existing in the Speed Force. Well, they exist in the Force. Their consciousness exists there. And, you know, maybe a Force ghost on the light side could actually come back and possess someone, but they don't. But the dark side users have the ability to come back to put their consciousness into the dark side of the Force and then possess a body. And if it's a clone of your body, it makes it that much easier. They possess that body and come back.
Okay. That's possible. Because they're definitely saying it's the Palpatine we've always known. It's not like, you know, a completely new anything, which leads me to the next one, which is that they're saying that Rey is his granddaughter. So she's not actually a Skywalker. She's a Palpatine.
Rey's the granddaughter of Palpatine. Now, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they're going to completely throw out all that your parents were nobody stuff. Or maybe if your parents were nobody, we didn't tell you the reason as to why they abandoned you, because they knew your lineage. They knew your legacy. Maybe they saw your power in the Force. Maybe they didn't want to have anything to do with you, because that means that one of her parents is Palpatine's kid.
Mm.
So, you know, which also leads me to the fact that seems like nobody in this Jedi thing was actually honoring the rules. They're just dropping kids all over the place. All these babies left and right.
Was that rule for the Sith too?
I don't know. Talking about Jedi's ain't supposed to love and blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, or whatever. Got all these side babies.
See, Jedi having more kids than medieval popes, you know?
So. Well, my speculation was always that Rey was a Kenobi.
Okay.
And they were going to explain, number one, why Obi-Wan aged so hard between the end of Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
But also why he was so adamant with some of the things he was telling Luke, and why he kept lying to Luke. Because maybe it's going to come out, maybe Obi-Wan got punished or chastised or put out or censored or something happened to him because he broke his code and fell in love with a woman and had a child. And that is why he ate so hard. That is why he told Luke so many lies. That's why he kept information to a minimum, because he saw history repeating itself. That's what I was hoping was going to happen, that she was a Kenobi, because all of a sudden that would make a lot of the stuff that Obi-Wan did make a lot of sense. If he had broken the Jedi code, fallen in love with a woman, had a child, and realized after the fact what that did to him, the price he had to pay, and how he had to hide that girl, you know, that whole thing. That's where I thought they were going.
So that's, I mean, I see where you're going with that. I like that. I'm confused by the whole Rey is a descendant of Palpatine story, if that ends up being true, because I guess there's a lot of things you could do, but where are her parents from? Were they on Naboo and they escaped?
Right.
And got away from Palpatine, or are they? Man, that's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sure. There's a lot of questions that begs if they do that plot turn.
Mm-hmm.
That she's actually a Palpatine, because, you know, then who's, you know, which one of her parents is his son or daughter, and who's they mama, and when did it happen, and was the mama a Sith? Was she a female Sith? Was the child conceived on purpose? You know, was Palpatine in love? Or, you know, I've also heard some spoilers that, do you remember how when they brought Norman Osborn back into Spider-Man's life, they kind of set it up to where he had been orchestrating everything that had happened to Peter from the beginning?
Right.
They're saying that that's what they're going to do with Palpatine in Rise of Skywalker, that they're somehow going to show that everything that's been happening up to and including the Disney Star Wars movies has been what he's been planning on from the beginning. And I'm saying to myself, if that's the case, then why he let Vader throw him down?
Yeah.
Why Vader throw him down?
So they're going to make Palpatine omnipotent, basically, or
omniscient?
Yeah, omniscient.
All-knowing, yeah.
Huh.
So, you know, I don't know it, but if they do that, you know, it kind of, to me, it takes a lot of the shine off the movies, because if that's the case, it makes Yoda and company look even more incompetent.
Yeah, plus, it's all fine and dandy to say that, mm-hmm. but if you're gonna throw that giant, you know, meatball out there, you better tie everything together in one neat little package to make me see all the strings put together, because you can't throw that out there and just leave it out there and say, oh yeah, but of course, because we said it all ties together. It's like,
right.
You need to show me what was going on. Plus, I'll be honest with you. I don't know, you know, maybe I've had too much coffee today or something, but no offense to Ian McDiarmid, but I'm having a hard time wrapping my hand around Palpatine siring a child, and I surely hope for whoever that woman was that it was Palpatine before the whole situation with Mace Windu, because yikes, that's all I'm going to say. So.
Yeah, super yikes on that one. yeah, that's what I'm saying. It begs so many questions, but what you just said was really key, and that is that if you're going to introduce that as a storyline, then you better have some very strong writing that justifies selling us the idea that he's been orchestrating this whole thing all along. I mean, they did that better in the books. The Zahn books were better at showing how Palpatine used the Force, how he used plants as bugs, plants that he used to listen, you know, and then introduced Mara Jade, the hand of the Emperor.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, we know he had Vader, but he had Mara too. I mean, everything makes more sense when you have that kind of fleshed out backstory as to how he was able to govern all these planets and all these star systems and keep a hold of it all.
Plus, I will say that there needs to be a reason why he did all this too. We need to not only see that how it all tied together, mm-hmm. but we need to see where it went, where it's going, and why he did this. You can't tie it all up in a neat little bow with, you know, Rey or whoever defeating him. You can't make him out to be omniscient and setting all this up. You know, like, if you make it out for him to do this for some evil purpose. Mm-hmm. And then this is the end of the Skywalker saga. And then Rey, or if it's going to be some other character, comes along and defeats him. Well, it's like he's been omniscient through, you know, decades of movies and more than decades of, you know, these world events, and set all these threads in motion, and then along comes whoever it is in Rise of Skywalker and defeats this plan. No.
Right, along comes Mary Sue Ray, and all of a sudden it all falls apart. That's right.
Yeah. It's like you thought things were bad before. Well, you're going to make it even worse if you do that. So.
Oh, the fan outrage.
Yeah.
So next point is that we're finally going to see Leia with the lightsaber. Problem I have with that is that I would have preferred to see it all like back in the Return of the Jedi days.
Yeah.
That's when I think they should have done it. Because, I mean, you know, Leia obviously had grown in her force training because, you know, she blew the door open or whatever, but she had unexplained powers, like surviving in space. And of course, then now infamous Mary Poppins flight.
Yeah.
You know, her telekinetic door blowing entrance or whatever. But we're going to see her hopefully with her yellow lightsaber. And she's going to, you know, be better than Luke. But, you know, nowadays, of course, blah, blah, blah. I don't even. I'm just tired of that whole thing. You know, it's going to be like Luke trains her, but she's better, blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying it's going to be a little bit harder for me to kind of buy it now or see it now because I've accepted Luke and Leia at a different stage of life.
Right.
And I feel like that the real lightsaber fighting happened in Empire and in Revenge of the Sith. Although Phantom Menace and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Darth Maul was really, really good too.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you could see in Revenge of the Sith when Dooku fought Obi-Wan and Anakin, you could see them CGI-ing Chris Lee's face over on somebody else's body. You could see it. It's obvious.
Right.
And when the Emperor produces a lightsaber and then he does that little mid-air spin, I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't see the point of it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like some lightsaber fights felt organic and some of them felt very shoehorned. And I don't know if I'm really ready to buy Leia with a lightsaber at this point.
Here's the thing, you know, so far in everything we've talked about, I've had the same feeling in all of them, which is I could see if you wrote it the right way, how it could be good. Uh-huh. And I could see how it could turn out to be a hot mess.
Uh huh.
And like the Leia with the lightsaber, I'll give you two different examples. There's the one example where you're talking about where the first time we ever see Leia with a lightsaber, suddenly she's pulling off, you know, Yoda moves. You know, she's spinning around and jumping, and she's like the best lightsaber fighter we've ever seen, and I'm going to just be rolling my eyes. And especially since, I don't, you know, as an aside, I don't know who hated Luke Skywalker, but somebody really hated Luke Skywalker because
yeah,
and bad. I mean, Han Solo's arc, it made me sad, but I was like, okay, I can deal with it. But the stuff they done with Luke just really upset me. Putting that aside, though, for a minute, I could also see where Leia could be in a desperate situation and she's trying to protect Rey's life from somebody. And so she picks up a lightsaber, and because of her affinity to the Force or whatever, you could make it a very awkward fight where she's using her abilities to be able to just, you know, preconception and quickness and stuff like that to just kind of hold her own and be on the defensive and fight that way. And that could be really good, you know. I think you could do something really good that way.
Okay, so, that scenario you just described, I could see that, except I'm not going to give the movie that much credit. I don't think it's going to be that smart.
Oh, no, no. You know, I don't either, but I'm just...
I think if there's a lightsaber in Leia's hand, she's all of a sudden, like you said, going to be the best thing. And the thing about it is, once again, if that's who you were, that's going to be R2 being able to fly on steroids.
Yeah.
You introduced that R2 can fly, really? Because that changes every appearance we've seen of him if we know he can fly. Well, if you show that somewhere between Return of the Jedi, when Leia says you have a power I could never have and don't understand, and Luke says, no, you have it too, because you're my sister. Between that time and The Force Awakens, she becomes, you know, the best fighter ever. Then why didn't we see that in the first two movies? Because no one with that kind of skill just sits on it.
And why didn't any of the other Force users in the universe recognize that there was a powerful Force user like that? Why didn't Snoke... recognize it? Why didn't her own son recognize the power? Luke, a bunch of other people, you know, so.
And then, you know, when Kylo is flying against his mom, she could have done the same thing Luke did. She could have just reached out in the Force and stopped him or created an illusion. I mean, it's, you know, you, when you play fast and loose with the story rules, it just throws me out of it. I can't stay engaged with your story when right. Your rules are inconsistent. Okay, next up.
If I could hit one other thing real quick. I always thought Leia was more compelling a character when it came down to the fact that we understood that Leia had the ability, the talent, but she chose to go a different path because she felt that it was more important for her to be involved in politics and leading and stuff instead of training as a Jedi because she felt that that was where she was going to do the most good. I thought that that made her such a compelling character, you know, and to give her all of this unearned really takes away from, I think it would take away from Jedi powers and it would take away from Leia as well, so.
I agree, and not only do I agree with that, but in the books, even though she kind of came around, see the you're talking about the brilliance of Leia's character. She had a resentment for Vader that Luke, if he had it, he got rid of it because he loved his father and believed in him so, until he was able to get past whatever else happened. But Leia carried a layer of resentment that she couldn't believe that this monster was her biological dad. And so she also purposely disconnected herself from being like that in any way. That adds another great layer to who she is as a person. So if you wrote Leia and showed her as a reticent or a reluctant force user, as someone who resents the whole idea, who doesn't want to honor the Skywalker or the Vader legacy at all, you know, she wants to say, I'm Leia Organa, you know, I take my adopted father's name, or I'm Leia Organa Solo, I take my husband's name, you know, just so many different ways you can have her say what you just said, that I wanted to fight, but I don't want to fight that way because I can't believe that monster is my dad. You know what I mean?
Definitely. You know, and her powers were always, you know, we were talking about the expanded universe, her powers are always on a different level anyway. Going back to one of my favorite books, Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Leia had, was more of that Jedi counselor, you know, counselor version of Jedi, where her force powers were much more intuitive. And you could see him setting that up in that book even. But it was like she knew things and she didn't know how she knew them and everything. It was Luke who had the more physical aspects of the force, you know, the ability to do those types of things we traditionally associate with Jedi, where she had more of this sixth sense, the ability to read people, stuff that made her a good politician, you know? So
and that's what we saw at the end of Empire, where Luke calls her in the Force and she hears it. And then in Jedi, when the Death Star explodes and Han says, I'm sure Luke wasn't there. And she says, no, I know he wasn't because I can sense it. So that lines up with that.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, to all of a sudden make her, you know, Luke 2.0 or Luke 3.0 if you count Rey, or I'm better than you in every way. I'm tired of all that. Okay, next one up. they say that Kylo Ren turns back to the light side and becomes Ben again. And to be honest with you, I could not possibly care less. If I've ever met a villain I care precisely zero about, it's Kylo Ren. There's absolutely nothing about him or his character or his presentation or his anything that interests me in the slightest. So I don't care if he turns into a bowl of a rainbow sherbet ice cream. I do not care. That's just me.
Okay. I have a question for you then. If in one of these last two movies, or even in a standalone movie, if they chose to do it, which I think would have been interesting before they did this trilogy, if they had done a standalone movie called The Fall of Ben Kenobi. Fall of Ben Solo, and they had shown Kylo Ren's fall and his going to the Knights of Ren and his move to the fall to the dark side. Do you think that you would have been more invested in Kylo Ren as a character?
Maybe, but see, part of my problem, my problems run a little deeper than that. My main problem is they made Luke a crazy man to want to try to take him out.
Right.
I'm just, number one. But number two, they made him very whiny. There's nothing worse than someone whose bark is so much worse than their bite until they come across like a blowhard.
Right.
And when you're whiny and vengeful and spiteful, that, you know, that's why I actually have an emotional disconnect between Anakin in the prequel trilogy and Vader in the original trilogy, because I do not believe that's the same guy. Okay. I do not believe that that dude turned into Vader. Just don't believe it. So I'm saying with Kylo, especially, you know, the first thing I see of him is he throws a tantrum with a lightsaber in his control room. He literally throws a tantrum. I'm like, yep, nope. So, no, I don't think I'd be any more invested if they showed all that, because to me, it would feel like, you know, trying to retcon him to have more depth and trying to retcon him to be more thoughtful and introspective and maybe show us the actual turning we wanted to see with Anakin. Mm-hmm. But that's not this guy. This guy is a teenager with his father's Porsche. And he's driving it as hard and as fast as he can. And he's running over people. And he's trying to be the king of the cool kids. And he can't take any kind of criticism. And you didn't even earn any of what you have. It's all based on your dad or your granddad in this case. Yep, no. Just no. Nope, sorry.
See, yeah. I think that the continual theme here is that there's just so many issues with the writing. You know, like with Luke going mad, as you said, and trying to kill Kylo, it's like, okay, if you're going to do something like that, you need to write your way into it and you need to write your way out of it.
Exactly.
And so much of what we've gotten lately from Star Wars is just throwing stuff out there and saying, and then when fandom goes, well, why is this happening? We're like, well, of course it's happening. It's Star Wars. We wrote it. It's like, no. You can't do that with anything. And you definitely can't do that with something like Star Wars, where there are so many people who know the ins and outs of this story as well as you do, if not better, you know?
Right.
You need to write your way into these situations and you need to write your way out of them. And if you don't, it just seems like you're just creating stuff for the sake of creating it. And with Kylo, you know, I think what they were trying to do with that character is make him the rage aspect, the anger aspect of the dark side of the Force. And instead it came off as 10 things I hate about you with Sith powers, you know? So it's like, that's what it really came out to be. And it's like, it's just unfortunate.
That's really well said. Really well said. Now, another rumor / spoiler is that he actually dies fighting the Emperor. So he turns back to the light side and goes after the resurrected Emperor and doesn't make it. So to me, that's another, how can I say it? That's another, why were we ever following your arc if that's the way you end?
Right.
Kind of thing. Because if the Emperor is literally the big bad, the biggest bad of all, there's no Snoke, there's no Vader, and there's no Kylo, there's no nothing. If it was all him all the time, then spending all the time we did with Kylo literally has no point. I mean, what was the point? If he really does die fighting the Emperor, then, you know, maybe it's a redemption arc. I don't know, but
yeah, I agree with you. It's like, why would he do that? And what, you know, whatever happened, you know, he had this almost like cult worship of Darth Vader in the Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened with that? So once again, it's like, if you're going to write your, if you do some good writing that explains why he's gotten to that point,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you could salvage the situation. But nothing I've seen so far has shown that the people writing this trilogy have an ability to write, they can write situations, but they don't seem to be able to write the overall theme. So they don't give you a reason why something happened and what the consequences are and follow all those different threads and put them together. They don't seem to be very good at that.
Well, if I could sum it up with three words, I would say no new ideas. These are all recycled ideas.
Okay. You know,
I still haven't seen Force healing. I want to see a Force healing trance. I want to see somebody put together a lightsaber. I want to see the difference between the color crystals. I've obviously read about them, but I want to see somebody explain it on the screen. I want to see somebody talk about the real difference between the light side and the dark side. I want an explanation as to how Force Ghost Yoda can call down real lightning in the real world. Because if you can fight as a Force Ghost, then that means all this time, these Jedi have been out here fighting, and the dead Jedi could have been fighting with them.
Right.
I want to see those things explained, but without any type of new ideas. And, anyway, so there's that. Now, that vision we saw in the trailer of Rey, quote unquote, Dark Rey, and she has the nunchuck lightsaber.
Right.
They're saying that that's a vision like Luke had of Vader in the cave on Dagobah. So she's actually having to do the same thing, go and face her fear in the cave, and that's who she sees is herself as Dark Rey with the nunchuck sabers.
I've heard this spoiler before, and I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because, once again, I feel it's incredibly disrespectful of Luke, because it's basically telling me that Rey is Luke Skywalker 3.0 or whatever. Not only that, she's Luke Skywalker, better than Luke Skywalker ever was, with no training whatsoever, and now she's going to go in there and face this. So it's almost like, yeah, you are ending the Skywalker saga, because you're going to give me the Rey Palpatine saga, going forward, or whatever it's going to be. So I hate that idea. I've heard this one. I heard this one a while ago.
Yeah, and they're making a specific point for Rey to one up Luke in every way. Have you ever been like in a crowd of people, like you've been at a party, or you've been at a movie, or you've been out to eat, you've been anywhere with a gang of people? There's always that one person that has to one up everybody.
Yep.
No matter what story is told, no matter where we go, no matter what the activity is, there's always that one person who just feels like, if you say I was in a parade in, one of the hottest summers of the year, it was like 100 degrees, and like, well, I was in a parade, it was 105. That was oh man, see, that is who Rey is to me in the minds of the writers.
Yeah.
So no matter what Luke does, she's got to one up him in every possible way. And that does not make people like her. That just makes her unlikable. And it, it's having the opposite effect of what I think they were going for.
Yeah. And I think they ruined it even further with the parents thing, because there was a point where I thought that, Rey was going to end up being the daughter of Luke and Mara Jade.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, well, if Luke did this, or Mara Jade, ended up hiding Rey, she left and ended up hiding Rey. Something happened to put a split between her and Luke, and then it's Luke coming to grips with that, and he has failed like his father, or he feels like he failed like his father did. And so you have this whole journey of the two of them in parallel, and then eventually it gets resolved somehow. Mm-hmm. And then Rey emerges from that stronger as Luke maybe sacrificed it, or whatever. There's almost so many different ways you could have done it. Then this whole journey makes sense to me,
Mm-hmm.
Then everything fits together. But to completely throw out Rey's parentage and then, supposedly make her a Palpatine, and then she's going through all this, it's like, you're basically telling me, get in the corner, old man. You had your Luke Skywalker for three movies, and be grateful you got to see him in anything at all, Mark Hamill, and get over it. So,
well, the whole reintroduction of Palpatine makes everything that happened in Return of the Jedi a moot point retroactively,
right?
So we're already there with that. Next one I get, and this is a big one, that I know this happened in the books, but I hated it then and I hate it now if this is true. I've heard that Chewbacca dies. They kill Chewie. That will be all anybody is talking about, especially longtime Star Wars fans, because we hated it when it happened in the books, and we would hate it if it happens here on screen, because Chewie has been probably my favorite character is Vader, but my second favorite character is Chewie, and he's been a part of everything from the beginning. And once again, with Han already gone, you have to give an awfully good reason to take Chewbacca out. It needs to be him giving his life to protect Leia is the only thing I would accept.
Right.
As a good enough reason for Chewie to go out. If something's going down and Leia's, 5 minutes from buying it, punching her ticket, and Chewie realizes the only way to save her is to get in between her and danger, okay, I'll buy that. Because that's something that Chewbacca would do.
Right.
But if it's for any other ridiculous reason, you know, I don't want to see it anyway, but that's the only thing I guess I would buy in terms of in-story logic.
See, my reaction to that doesn't even go that deep, though. When, you know, I just heard, that's the first time I've heard of this one for the movie, and the first time, as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, so now you're telling me you killed Han Solo, you killed Luke Skywalker, R2-D2 was, you know, unconscious or whatever, a robot could be unconscious for a while. Right. Now you're going to kill Chewbacca. It's like, well, damn, let's go hell hog, you know? Have C-3PO become a Jedi as well and then go out, die in, and R2-D2 decides to sacrifice himself and blows him, you know, self-destructs, you know, just wipe out the whole old cast, because that's kind of feels like what they're doing, you know, so it's like...
Well, remember, they killed Admiral Akbar, too.
Oh, no, yeah.
So, that's already happened, so that's what I'm saying. This is just, it pushes me further and further away from, again, caring about what happens. I'd rather just enjoy my movies as I remembered them.
They killed Admiral Akbar after he got a demotion.
Right, right. And I'm like, no. So what next one up is that Rey ends up with both Luke and Leia's lightsaber. So Rey has Luke's lightsaber, a good old dead Luke, which, you know, he could probably still use since Force ghosts can affect the physical world now. But she also gets Leia's lightsaber. So she's going to be going up against the Emperor where everybody else has failed or died. And she's going to have Luke's lightsaber and Leia's lightsaber, plus the Millennium Falcon. So Rey ends up with all the toys. Congratulations, she wins.
So are they intimating that Rey is going to take on Palpatine in a lightsaber battle?
Yes, toe-to-toe. That's right.
So you're telling me, this is what you're telling me on this podcast right now, that I'm supposed to believe, because you're not going to, you can't tell me that Rey is going to lose that fight. We know that's not going to happen.
No.
So you're telling me that Yoda, the greatest swordsman to have ever lived, supposedly, who was defeated through trickery, but still was defeated by Palpatine, who held his own fighting with his lightsaber, is going to lose to a girl who's had no formal training at all.
Yep, looks that way.
Okay, that's one way to go. That is one way to go. It's, yeah, all right. You know, I don't know what else I can add to that one.
So. I know. What do you say to that? And yeah. So, you know what's happened? What's happened on the real world business side is that Star Wars has basically shot itself in the foot with repeat playability. This is another thing, because one of the ways I always judge movies is, how often do I want to see it again? You know, do I want to buy it digitally? Do I want to buy the DVD, the Blu-ray? Do I just want to enjoy this movie over and over and over again? And when you let somebody make something like The Last Jedi, I don't care if I ever see that movie again. And see,
I haven't seen it again since I watched it the first time.
Well, I'm not spending a dime more on it, but I'm saying, that's what it feels like to me has happened, the repeat playability, because if all this stuff we're talking about actually does come true in The Rise of Skywalker, you know, Star Wars is still Star Wars on some level, and people will watch it again, but it won't be like they watched the original trilogy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if they, you know, they're going to have marathon parties somewhere. I know they're going to have them here in Chicago where they play all 9 movies.
Mm-hmm.
If I went, I would leave after Return of the Jedi.
So you'd watch the prequels?
Yeah.
And then you'd watch the original trilogy?
Yep, and then I am out.
You're done.
Yep, that's exactly what would happen. That would be a great day. I can hang with my friends, eat some popcorn. We do like we're doing now, talk about stuff, and then I'm leaving because I'm not watching Force Awakens. Only one I like is Rogue One, but that's only because of the Vader scenes. That's the only reason I watch Rogue One. You take the Vader scenes out, and it's boring and hard to follow.
You know, I would respectfully disagree with you on that one. I enjoyed Rogue One for what it was. I liked the spy aspects to it and stuff like that. It was a different Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. There were some things that I would gripe about, you know, but they were just minor things. I enjoyed that movie quite a bit. The one that I watch occasionally, and I have to put a bunch of stuff out of my mind to be able to watch it, is Solo. Star Wars. I can watch that, and there are parts that I enjoy, and if I put other Han Solo stories out of my mind, I can be like, okay, if I'm looking for something to watch and this, I'm in the mood, I can watch it. But I had such high hopes for that movie. I was hoping it was going to be, and I can't remember the names of books off the top of my mind, but there was a Han Solo trilogy.
Yes, where, I remember the Corellian trilogy, yes.
Yeah, and he does a, there's one of them where he does a bank heist. He and Chewbacca do a bank heist. They end up in the middle of all these like murderous robots and stuff, and one of those books, and it was so good. And I was hoping that's what that movie would be, and it wasn't. So, yeah, that.
What we have to admit now is that Malcolm Reynolds is basically Han Solo.
Yes.
So when you say the bank heist and stuff like that, that's Mal, that's Firefly we want to see, and that's who we met Han Solo as, and that's who we believe him as a smuggler, a thief with a heart of gold, a good guy on the inside, but that's how he made his living, and he made no bones about that.
Definitely. And I could be wrong, but for all the kids of my neighborhood, the guy we all wanted to be from Star Wars was Han Solo, not Luke Skywalker. You know, Han Solo was just cool.
That's right. He was. He was. And who doesn't want a best friend like Chewie?
Yeah.
That's my point. Okay, last one. And, you know, if we haven't just, you know, burned out our frontal lobes by now, the last one is Rey ends up retiring or going. I don't know if she goes back to Jakku. I think she goes to Tatooine. And she takes the name Skywalker. So the last scene of the movie is somebody asks her who you are. And she says, well, my name is Rey Skywalker, in credits. And that's the rise of Skywalker.
Oh, hell no.
And that's it.
Right. Wow.
Right. Leaves you speechless, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's. What was the name of Anakin's mother? Was it?
Shmi.
Okay.
Well, there was a theory I put it on my Twitter. I'm sure I could go back and find it. But there's a theory a couple months ago that was kind of funny and kind of possible. They said that once Rey finds out she's Palpatine's granddaughter,
she
tries to escape through time. So she goes back, changes her name to Shmi Skywalker to hide from Palpatine. And maybe before she went back, she was already pregnant with Anakin. Maybe Palpatine used his own granddaughter as an incubator because he had gained enough control in the Force to create the strongest Force user to date, which was Anakin. And maybe Rey understood that plan and wanted to get herself and the baby away from her granddad. So she goes back in time, turns herself into Shmi Skywalker, has Anakin, and back at a time when Palpatine was still the Chancellor, before he became the Emperor, learned how to disconnect from the Force, kind of like a Force blackout, so he couldn't sense where she was.
I'll be honest with you.
That almost kind of sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, I remember seeing that on your Twitter.
Uh-huh.
That is not the worst thing I've ever heard. If they did that, it would make a hell of a lot more sense about everything that's going on, and I'm able to be like, all right, well, I didn't like those movies and what they did, but now I'm like, okay, some other stuff makes sense. So, all right, I'm okay with it. I'll be honest with you. When I hear that, I'm like, that's pretty far out there. I was like, no one's, I've never heard of anyone traveling through time with the Force, but okay. Okay, I see what you're doing there. You know, so it's
like, but I mean, if written well, it could really work. It could be possible that, you know, when Rey finds out her parentage, she finds out a lot of the secrets. Normally, the way they do superheroes is it's like they have Dick Grayson find a Batcave, and all of a sudden, now Bruce has to explain everything.
Uh-huh.
It's normally that type of scene. So if Palpatine had a Emperor cave, if you will, and Rey is his granddaughter, she's like, oh, hey, Grandpa. And Grandpa, when you go downstairs, where are you going? She's like, oh, don't worry about it, baby. I just got some things I'm building in the basement. You stay up here and eat some cookies. And one day, you know, Rey says, we're going to see, and she discovers the Palpatine cave. And all of a sudden, she sees who she's descended from. And maybe she sees failed clones of herself. I mean, the more I think about it, the more that could be really a really interesting story.
Yeah, definitely. Like
Ripley in Alien Resurrection, she sees all the failed clones.
Mm-hmm.
So what if Rey sees a scene of all the failed clones of herself or maybe Palpatine, and then she figures out what's really going on, and then she, you know, and she discovered that she was pregnant, and she's like, I wasn't really sleeping with anybody. How did this happen? And then she finds out her creepy granddad has been trying to grow a Force user inside of her, and then she does do a time jump and becomes Shmi. I would actually like that the more we talk about it.
Like Anakin was almost like the next body he was supposed to inhabit, and so she gets Anakin away from the Emperor by going back in time. Yeah, that is out there, but and that would really, I mean, just talk about a mind-blowing event. You'd have to go back and watch all the movies again with that in mind and everything that would go on with that. But I'm with you. I'm like, the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, yeah, I'd like to see that. Yeah, you know, like,
y'all do that one. Y'all could pull that off. It also would immediately explain the Emperor's obsession with Anakin, because from the time he meets him, I mean, he makes a, you know, small comment in Phantom Menace when Anakin's still a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, once Anakin becomes Hayden Christian Anakin, the Emperor's obsessed with him, and the Emperor's obsessed with him as Vader, and the Emperor's obsessed with him in the comics. But all of a sudden, if this thing with Rey is what happened, we understand why, because like you said, he was trying to do what Ultron did with Vision in the movies. He was trying to create the most powerful Force body ever made and jump in it.
Right.
And then he's like, well, if I can't live in it, at least let me control the man who does. I mean, you know, it will explain everything about that relentless obsession he's had with Anakin.
Which could which could get you with that whole concept of, you know, him being able to like force possess somebody or something like that.
Yeah.
And it would also make it really interesting to talk about the endless discussions fandom would have about this whole idea of fate and time loops, because, you know what, she keeps going back in time and then the whole thing starts up again and it's going around, you know, you got this loop with this whole family involved in that, and it's like, yeah, that would be different.
It could be the first Terminator level of all awesome in terms of the elliptical loop if they did that. So yeah, man. So yeah, we got to start wrapping it up. But my mind is sufficiently blown now because I want to see that movie now.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll make a quick list. So for everybody that's listening, if any of this happens, you know, in the movie, we know that Palpatine is back. That's pretty much a guarantee. We need to see if Rey is his granddaughter, or if Rey is Luke's daughter, or if Rey is a Kenobi, which is really the one I hope, which probably means it's not going to happen. We're going to see Leia with a lightsaber. We're going to see Luke training her, and of course, Leia's going to be better, blah, 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 I don't care. We're going to see Kylo Ren turn back to the light side and become Ben again, which would be interesting if there's a physical change, if he looks different when he becomes quote-unquote good again, if Kylo Ren or Ben is going to die fighting the Emperor, if the dark ray we see in the trailers is her in a dark force cave like on Dagobah, which will solidify that she's just trying to one-up Luke on everything. If Chewie actually dies, which nobody's looking forward to, if Rey ends up with both Luke and Leia's lightsabers against Palpatine, and if Rey actually beats Palpatine, and this last one we just talked about, if it turns out that Rey is actually Shmi, holy cow, then what Kevin Smith said will be true. If that's actually the last scene, that actually will blow minds all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would be really, really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. You know, we want to see this Skywalker thing wrap up, but, you know, the consensus is we want to see it done well. Whatever ideas they go with, we want to see them written well, executed well. We want to see them be organic and believable. And we really want to see this whole thing go out with some class. So here's hoping that that's what happens in Rise of Skywalker, Star Wars Episode 9. I want to thank David Nemesis Howard for being a co-host on the podcast. Thanks so much, Dave.
No problem. It was a joy to talk to you. Really fun subject. And I hope everybody out there enjoyed listening to us throw some ideas around.
Awesome. Awesome. And we are definitely going to do a podcast after the movie, recapping everything that actually does happen. And we're definitely going to weigh in on that. Thanks to everybody for listening. And we will see you next time on Sloppy Spoilers.
Night, everyone.
Night.